This is Bob Rourke with Business Leaders Podcast. And today we're extremely fortunate. We actually have kind of a panel going on. We have Catherine Wicklund. She's a former CEO and current CEO and the chair of Vistage for Southern Colorado. And we have Mike Blakeman. He's the CEO of Visual Globe. And we have Matt Hand. He's in charge of business development for Visual Globe. Guys, Miss Wicklund, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Guys, I tell you what, tell us a little bit about Visual Globe, what it does, and who it serves.
I can begin by saying that Visual Globe is a software platform being started and developed for the physical asset management marketplace. And based on the 28 years of experience and knowledge of the industries, this all came together in form of a new platform.
I'm the business owner and going like, huh, let me dig in. All right. So typical, let's say I'm an oil company CEO. How does your software and application help me as a CEO of an oil company?
Over the years, we've done some research and study of the marketplace, especially in the energy industry. And we have found the problems that exist to help companies be more efficient. We have found that there's data throughout the organization in multiple silos, whether it's in facilities, GIS, CAD, financials, ERP, MRO, whatever it may be.
What's ERP and MRO?
Well, these are business processes that they're currently using. And regardless of what type, there's business process being used. Once this data is brought together, which we have the engine to do that, it's a data fusion engine that brings all this information together, whether it's unstructured. Unstructured means a PDF. It could mean Excel spreadsheet, or it could mean IoT sensors in the field coming together into our data fusion. Structured data, on the other side, is the more SAP, Oracle type of databases and tables that exist within the organization that's relative to these physical assets.
You know, in thinking about the solutions in search of a problem, and for you, what was the genesis or what got you going down this path and deciding to start creating this company to solve these problems?
Over the last 28 years, I've experienced a lot of needs and problems in the digital information. All this information is being transformed over time. And because of time and technology needs, there was a need to go in this direction, the direction of bringing data together. And bringing data together is going to solve a lot of problems based upon the needs of our customers. It could be anything from maintenance and inspection to government compliance. There's a whole host of challenges that the companies are facing, but bringing the data together for the very first time allows us to make predictive analytics, decision-making, allows them to make better decisions than they've ever made before immediately.
And the visualization that they see with the dashboarding and the KPIs that we can do with the data through the data fusion model allows senior level employees or even managers of operations or projects to be able to see and visualize what's happening in real time. By taking the collected data that you have from a physical inventory standpoint and collecting all the data for maintenance records, for collecting the data because you have responsibilities for contracts to the people that are actually using the piece of equipment or assets in the field, bringing all that data from a collected standpoint doesn't give you the value or show you the value that you need from many different departments such as engineering, operations, maintenance, construction. So by showing them the visual model and giving them that visual representation, you're breaking down those walls of those silos and giving them something that they can all have a communication methodology to use. It's one visualization of one product or one asset. They all share interests, but they all use that data in different ways. Bridging the gap by bringing that together solidifies and provides a solution for that problem.
We were talking before the episode about a piece of equipment that went on a walkabout, for lack of a better term. So maybe that would be a reasonably good illustration of a problem.
Yes, we focus on the most expensive assets in the field, whether it's a transformer for $500 million or a compressor that's $5 to $10 million in the field. But when a large oil and gas company out of Oklahoma City says, I had a compressor moved from Texas back to Oklahoma City, and a year later, nobody even knew it was moved. I mean, this is the kind of problems they're faced with. What we like to think of first is ask any CEO, CFO, operations facilities, show me where all your assets are. And the answer is, I can't do it. And we're saying, yes, you can. And not only can we show you, but we're going to tell you everything about that asset. It's just like your phone. Your phone has all the information at your fingertips, everything about you, all your friends, all your photographs, all your videos, everything is on that phone. Why can't you have that access to a large corporation, to a large customer who's looking at their physical assets? Mostly physical assets are the area where we're worried about risk of life. We're worried about the operations shutting down because of a lack of maintenance. So when the ball bearings need to be replaced and they were not, when the assets move 1,000 miles and you don't know it, these are problems that we can solve because of the integration and bridging of data.
You know, it sounds like a really large intelligence operation between data gathering and indicators to me. It's, you know, and you've had a couple of folks that you've talked about that have been in this industry for a while where they have disparate pieces of equipment and so on. And they're a real fan of what you guys are doing. What are the kind of comments that you're hearing from the folks that know the solutions that you guys are bringing to market?
We've had a lot of positive feedback regarding bridging the silos I was talking about, where they had individual operations or plans about a specific asset. So they would follow one channel in one organization. When they would have redundant process and redundant data in another silo doing the same thing with that data. And by bridging the gap and moving those two together, you're showing vulnerabilities and visibility to where they have gaps in their processes. That has been key in the feedback that we've gotten so far is, I have a need for this. Because you're taking that, again, you're taking down the walls between the organizations by showing the data and where it's redundant in one effort where somebody else is doing it on the other side.
Do you think these companies are even aware of the gaps?
Well, I was going to answer the question of what kind of response we get. For example, one utility company said, looking at their data, within 30 seconds, they said, that data is wrong because they never seen it together. And they're saying, wow, where have you been in the last 6 years? We've been looking for this.
You know, I think about what you just said, wow, that data is wrong. And you go, that data was measured by somebody else. That data was not Intel. That data was not useful.
That data was theirs.
And you shake your head and go, somebody was busy collecting, creating, and curating the data. Waste of time. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think about the business owner, whether it's a large utility or whether it's a big real estate company that has HVAC and whatnot all over the place. The ability to curate, understand, and bring all these pieces together, that's really what you guys are talking about. And that visualization factor, because we were looking at your software not that long ago, and you were looking at a 3D rendering from a CAD drawing of the physical plant, and you literally could go from here to another location, and you go, what about that thing over there? You could pull the maintenance record on that. And so I think for the property managers and others, I bet the insights for the people that saw that were really rather remarkable.
What you are referring to is a 3D visualization of your physical assets on Earth where it belongs. And where you have the ability to take each of those assets and convert it to a hot, intelligent object. And it can turn colors. It can alert you with different scorecards or dashboards based upon the needs of that particular asset. Like I showed you, Bob, that there's a green, yellow, and red, for example. You know, green, I'm going to ignore. Yellow, I might start looking at it. And red, I'm going to take action. So it's all about taking all this data, which is just raw data, and converting it to actionable intelligence, the ability to make decisions like you've never made before, thus providing you with a permanent reduction in your operating cost, permanently, not just temporarily.
And tying into other processes and applications and platforms that you have as well is a critical piece of what we have done. When you look at the 3D model or the immersive technology that we're using, where you can look and physically go in a location where your asset resides, you can also tie that asset to a work order, a work management system, finance, things that you really care about from that particular asset and all of those channels. We can do it to other applications, engineering, as we mentioned earlier with the different products that we talked about, SAP and Oracle. That's another key part of what we're developing is making it transactional in the way that it operates so that you can manage and maintain all aspects of your business where in regards to that asset.
So the ideal clients so far, that, as I understand it, anybody that has massive plant and equipment, you know, obviously the energy space, whether it's utilities or oil companies, real estate companies with vast and extensive geographically spread. Were we talking, Kath, about schools as well? Colleges?
Yeah, universities, right?
Anybody with facilities, whether it's higher education, medical campuses, or even government military bases.
You know, and for some of the business owners that may be going, well, isn't this out there already? What's been done so far? Just the siloed work predominantly?
When you look at the different technologies that we're bringing together for the very first time, you're going to see pieces of that being approached by other companies. Big data is here. There's large corporations focusing on big data. You're going to see visualization and you're going to see artificial intelligence. But when you bring it all together, you're solving something that they can't solve on their own, which gives us a differentiator in the marketplace. This is the time. We know the time is there. The market told us, the research has told us, and the customers have said, here are my problems. They give us pages of documents saying, here are my internal problems. Solve them for me. And it's going to be done through our solution. And then when we solve those problems, it's all about why. Why are we doing this? It's not just because it's new technology. It's great to have and wonderful. It just isn't happening. But what's happening is I'm taking this and making decisions to save time and money in my company right now, immediately. We can tell you day one, when you see the data come together, you're going to be making a decision to save money. And we want that to be a permanent reduction. We want that to be long-term. And we want them to be able to say, you know, I'm going to need more data. Meaning what that means is that they're going to say, you know what? I need more IoT sensors in the field. I need to be able to monitor that real time. It's on, off, hot, cold. What's the RPMs? What's the temperature?
What's the maintenance log? What's my usage rate? Do I have a backlog? Do I have too many on hand? Do I have too few on hand? Did the one break in Oklahoma and didn't break in Texas? Do I have one in Texas and I need it in Oklahoma?
We welcome data sources, whether it's IoT, maintenance reports. When it comes to IoT, that is the future of just about any major business when it comes to operations. Being able to see real time information coming in. But that's just one source. It has a relationship to other things. And that's what we want to do is show the relationship.
You know, I think about the difference between data and intelligence. You know, and what you guys are taking is the very siloed data pieces and try to interrelate the data where you create actual intelligence so you can either take and make a quality decision, make or save or spend money on that for the business owner.
And the attributes are very important about the asset as well. So working, you know, hand in hand with the client or customer to identify what attributes that they care about. You know, what is it that's important to you might be different than what's important to Mike. And so those are the things that we're also trying to tie together to so we have a unified message of what do you want in return and how do you want it. And I think that's important with the visualization piece is one, but tying it back into their legacy systems is another.
It sounds fabulous. Way to keep track, create intel, execute quality decisions, identify gaps.
And provide effective solutions.
Absolutely. Well, shifting gears a little bit, right? This is where I get to quiz you guys to death. So for you, you know, looking at your years of experience, if you could go back with what you know now and offer advice to you, your 25-year-old self, what would you do, Mike? What would you say to your 25-year-old self, knowing what you know now?
There's several things I would say. My first company that I founded and sold was an experience of how to run a company, not knowing what needs to be done, how to manage all the assets as you grow, all the facilities and the processes. And at that time, I decided to join Vistage with my first company, which is the best decision I've ever made. Reason for that is because I'm sitting in a room with members who are running $50, $100 million companies, who are offering advice to me, who's hiring people left and right, growing as quickly as I could handle it. And that was a great response to the need I had then, and I offer to other people. The other thing I think is important is that when I speak at higher education universities to the entrepreneurship class, every time there's always one question. How did you get started and why? And the answer is, I asked 1,000 questions and I got 1,000 answers and I listened to them.
Listening. And for the folks that don't know what Vistage is, we are fortunate we have an expert here at the table. What is Vistage?
So Vistage is a worldwide global membership organization. We have about 23,000 members globally in Vistage, and it's peer advisory group opportunity for business owners, CEOs, presidents, partners to come together once a month and really have the benefit of a professional development speaker, either personal or business development speaker, as well as have some wise people sitting around the table to help you problem solve and troubleshoot some of the challenges that you see as CEO. And I can talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I had not heard of Vistage until maybe a couple of years ago and had no idea. And you'd hear, well, I'm in Vistage. And I go, well, good for you, you know, and had no idea. And for you, you know, you've done it more than once in your business career and coming back to Vistage. You know, so if you were to look at yourself years ago when you first went to Vistage, and now that you're back in Vistage with the business that you're in now, what's the difference between the two journeys with Vistage?
And I've told Matt the answer to this, and it's simply technology's changed. The culture, a new way of thinking, social media, all things have changed since then. And it's time to listen to how you run a company differently as you did years ago, as opposed to how culture is such an important part within a company. And how you capitalize on social media, because that's what's becoming the wave of the future, or it's already here today, that allows you to rate and move and see and learn and be able to share your business value
on a podcast.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting medium. Matt, I was thinking about for you, if maybe the best way to say this is you're a little closer to when you were 25 mm-hmm. than Mike is. Just saying. What advice, looking back over time, given what you know, would you offer to your younger self?
Good question. I would first and foremost tell my younger self to invest in a company called Google. But after I did that, then really to focus and listen to different advisors about what they need, not what they want, but what they need. I think it's important to differentiate the two. I think a lot of things that people want are, you know, could be material items in businesses, and they say, oh, that looks good, so I'm going to go ahead and purchase that. Or I know some other people that have purchased a big name. I should go that direction. But the need, does it solve the need of your company? Does it solve the need to be able to be successful with whatever you're doing? So I think my advice to myself would be to listen, understand the need, and capitalize on that.
Yeah.
All right.
And Google's always a good.
Yes,
yeah.
Good.
All right. For the company, if you could put an ad on page one of the local business paper sharing your message or advice, what would it be?
I would say that the message of our business today, or as a business owner, the company
I think for
itself,
your business today. Yeah. For the business that you're working in.
We are changing the way a company manages their assets by using new technology, unlike before.
And if people have that equipment and they're in search of a solution, they should call you.
That is true. They can go to the website.
Absolutely, which is a great segue into how do people find you?
Through our website, visual-globe.com, LinkedIn, and we're setting up Twitter account.
Mike Blakeman on LinkedIn, yes? Or is it Visual Globe on LinkedIn?
It's Mike Blakeman on LinkedIn.
Okay. Super. Good, because I always try to get that in there somewhere so I don't forget. All right. Now.
So, Mike, what is the best allocation of your time or initiative that's helped your company and why?
The allocation of time, I think, would best be represented by being in the industry, listening to customers tell us what we need and what they need, how to improve their processes. The other part of my time would be having guys like Matt join and become a partner in the company, which really changes the dynamics of the company.
Surround yourself by people that have experiences in what you're trying to develop. I mean, there's three of us, we all bring something to the table. whether that's our previous work history, experiences in the industries, knowledge of our client base, doing the research and development that's necessary to see who our competitors are, for example. What do they bring to the table and what are the best practices that we can capitalize on?
So it's dimensional.
Yes, very much so. And I think through conversation, we've been able to develop a clear focus point, the strategy of how we want to go forward and how we believe we're going to be successful. And you capitalize on it again, and I'll go back to a previous statement, which is what I told my 25-year-old self, which is listen to the need. And I think that's really our message to our client base, and that's really what they've responded to, is we have a questionnaire that we send out, and they answer the questions based on their need, not their wants.
If you were to characterize the top one or two problems or needs that your ideal client would have, what do you think the two most prevailing or predominant issues or problems that your company is going to solve for them? What do you think those are?
I think that maintenance and inspection is probably the highest level of need on physical assets. Are they being maintained properly? Are they being maintained according to the manufacturer specs? You know, for example, we can take your catalog on your particular asset that are sitting in paper form, and we can convert that and link that to the website of the manufacturer so you can actually see what's required. So throw away all those catalogs and manufacturing specs that are on the shelf. But I think it's all about that ability to look at your maintenance, look at inspection, and then be able to correlate it with other things, financials, facilities, and other things. But I think that's the most important, because when things shut down, people aren't happy, and we want them to be happy.
Yeah, that's usually fairly expensive.
I'm looking at it from a cost perspective, right? If it's work stoppage, it's costing the company money. So you want to avoid that at every cost if you can by looking at the current data and figuring out what's next.
Someone might say, well, I already have an inspection and maintenance procedure. And we would say, great, we welcome that. But correlate it with other data, and then it changes the game.
You know, I'd be really, you know.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah, former military, you know, you'd say, okay, have you pulled maintenance? And you go, yes. Cool. What does it look like? All right. And you go, okay, I pulled the maintenance. You go, well, that's interesting. It's not the spec. Or you go, the specs change based on our experience. Mm-hmm. Or our preventative maintenance would suggest that 80% of standard is better and it preserves our equipment better. Or we're at 120% of time. Where's our spare one? Because this one's going to go based on our experience and the geographic wear and tear on whatever you have. So I think that for me, when I think about maintenance and proactive maintenance is saving me money and making sure everything continues to work over time would be on my mind as a business owner. We're just getting to pick on you guys. This is enjoying this.
One other thing I'd like to add with the maintenance there is that technology that we're talking about has changed as well. And so when you have a physical asset, there may have been technological advances to change the inner materials of that particular item. Looking at it from a maintenance record of what was the wear like, I take an industrial pump, for example, the polymers and the things that they use in the internals or the elastomers, could they be using a different product to be able to maximize the efficiency of that particular unit? Or can they extend the life of that unit by using something else? That's going to bring to the table the visibility to what has it looked like in previous record. Most of the times people pull a maintenance record, they're pulling one file, right? The last one. But if you could look at the last 10 years and start doing some analysis on that, bridging that data gap is very extensive when you're doing it manually, but through a digital world and giving them that view in a dashboard, it eliminates all that labor and that effort.
Can you do a predictive forecast then based on the last 10 years? This is what you should expect going forward, and then preventative, right?
Yeah, we do predictive and preventative based on client inputs. So we would have to work with them and understand what it is and what they're trying to do. But you look at caustic materials and things like that, and the example I just gave, that's going to show wear and tear. So we could do some really good analysis on that particular model to provide that analysis back to the client. Other industries do a lot of the same thing. What am I doing? What am I using? How am I treating any particular asset? And using the data to provide a background to that is going to, again, bridge the gap of communication and allow people to come together and say, hey, John down the road here has that expertise in his head rather than on paper. So guess what? He brings that value as he's seeing what we're talking about on the screen or even in the 3D modeling world.
Because it's not just predictive and preventative from a asset perspective, but also from a teamwork perspective, right? Because you're able to identify what the gaps, what problems the gaps in communication or the right hand not talking to the left hand have caused the company, what pain points it's brought to the company and how much it's cost them.
Right. Mike brought the example of the people looking at the data right away and say, my data's wrong. Is your data wrong, or is how you input the data and what artifacts you're using to provide the data details wrong?
Mm. Sounds like the compass is wrong.
Right.
Mm.
That usually doesn't work out well. It usually doesn't. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about as you were talking, you know, we've had a fair quantity of climate events. And let's say you have a broadly diversified set of equipment across the United States, and some of it's working in what they would consider normal climate conditions for that piece of equipment. Then you have one that's heavily rained on, you have one that's heavily impacted by cold, and so on. And you could start looking at the anomalies of weather on your maintenance records and start getting predictive on what you do. You know, and I think about the value of that particular thought process. You know, there's a big windstorm, there was this, there was that. And you can go, based on history and based on these factors, we really need to pull maintenance on that faster. And it's not just the old guy that's on the site that understands that.
But, you know, bringing in weather is just another data source. If you're, you know, taking that, the humidity is different between the north and the south in the United States, and it has an impact on assets. So there's other data sources that could be brought in to help predict the longevity of any asset.
Or it needed preventative maintenance, right?
You know, I think about that is, you know, I have this, I'm sort of visual, and I have this blinking light screen in front of me of, oh, that's good, and that's bad, oh, that one needs some help. Mm. And you can do just a heads up look and go, we need to reach out to that area to get that sorted out on basically on one screen, and the ability to drill down on the screen to check the oil, for lack of a better term. I like it.
Yeah. What piece of advice can you share with us that you think most contributed to your success so far?
I think it's the understanding, because I've been so involved with the industries that we're talking about, being familiar with the asset information, the 3D models, mapping information, all of those things came into play in terms of I call it a pretty obvious choice in terms of technology, but we are bridging some gaps that have never been bridged before. And I think the technology, when we talk about data fusion, makes the changes everything they do. And we talk about the fact that if you don't bring your data together and fuse it, you're going to be faced with some challenges, meaning you're not going to be competitive. You're not going to be able to reduce your operational cost. And that makes you less competitive in the marketplace. It raises your cost and continues to raise those costs because you're working under the old traditional methods of running a business. And the times now are changed where technology is here to stay, and it's going to make a difference in how you operate.
One of the questions I haven't asked you, Mike, that goes along with what we were talking about as far as physical assets and universities and medical campuses, what about ships on the ocean? What about cargo? Is it applicable, not applicable?
You have to think that every single asset, no matter if it's fixed or mobile, has associated data sitting somewhere in the organization. So it doesn't matter to us. We say we don't care about the shape of the asset. It doesn't matter.
Right. So we typically think land, but it's not a restriction.
No, not a restriction at all. That fixed asset seems to move.
Yeah, that's the problem with fixed assets is when they move. You kind of go, wait a minute.
Nobody told you.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking about the ability, let's say that it's a 2 or 3 factor event that causes piece of equipment to fail, and the ability to machine learn if you didn't know the relationship to start with. And so I think as you guys take and are able to aggregate and basically cross-pollinate data, that you can machine learn from the various silos and really start to take in and make a difference.
Yeah, I think that is one of our focal points, is understanding what data streams impact that asset, what makes it run, and what are the outputs of that asset. Understanding that piece of it is the discovery portion that we do on the front end with our client to say, okay, I understand what you use this for, but what else is it doing? Where else is it communicating? Does it have, you know, a function where it has a reporting mechanism that's reporting back to a system that you don't know about from the operations perspective? So I think that is key for the predictability and the machine learning. Is understanding the purpose of the asset. So that's a lot of client interaction. So that's a lot of where we spend the upfront time. And then taking that information back into
internally for us to be able to put together a model for the machine learning in the future. What are the outputs and how are we going to show that to you? Visibility is important, as we've talked about. So it could be more than just looking at statistical analysis, looking at past records, and showing more of a future outlook of what that particular item is going to look like and why it's necessary in your infrastructure. It could be eliminated through what we're trying to do because you have another product that could replace it. So looking at those, the financial analysis as it's related to that asset is very critical as well.
More intel, quality decisions. That's what you guys are after.
That is true.
It's what you create.
You know, and for the business owner, you don't need to create any more data than you currently have necessarily to start with. You have the data siloed. And if you take and go to that process and you go, there is a disparate piece of data that I don't have, that would drive your gap to gather data.
Bring the data together first, then decide what you do next. Bring it all together and say, okay, we brought in the legacy data from the last 30, 40, 50 years. We're still using Excel spreadsheets, which is fine. We've added a sensor or two out in the field. Great. We may be using a strong business process, expensive Oracles and the SAPs out there. That's great. It's a good choice. But what the point is, once you bring it all together, then you're going to realize that the data coming in is only as good as the data that exists. And we can't change that. We cannot change the transpose of numbers. We can't the naming of an asset seven different ways. We can't change the inputs that were erroneous from the beginning. Can't do anything. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah, but that anomaly usually bounces and sticks out. You kind of go, yeah, they transposed a number over time, because I think you can normalize that or put a Bollinger Band around it effectively and look at what's normal.
You can bring it together and see, begin to start to build normalcy in the data.
And you can think about it and feel like, does that make sense? Right. You know, based on whatever you're doing. And, you know, what I like so much about what you're talking about doing is I'm a fan of predictive behavior, you know, and looking at what you're trying to do and to go, it gives me a basis to talk, you know, to have some level of confidence in what I'm anticipating, you know. And, you know, what if you have a load factor, one part of your system goes down, you have to double up the load on another location to cover for the one that's down. What does that do?
I think it's important what you said, Bob, it's a level of confidence.
Yeah.
How do we build it?
Budgeting, confidence, maintenance. Geez, you know, we're here. Do we really need to do that? Things are slowing down. Do we need to do it? Did we know it was slowing down? You know, and I think all of those things, you know, capital expenditures for what you're doing as a business owner, you know, spend it when you need to.
One of the clients that we talked to talked about an inventory and inspection program that they did annually. Every year did it over and over again. So they collected the data, came back, collected the data, came back. It was just repetitive for year after year. So it's an expense that they're paying out. If they were to take that, consolidate the data, get the data sets that we have, put it through the data fusion model, we could show them quickly where you have gaps to streamline their inventory process. So instead of it being a whole inventory process every year in inspection, they would do a smaller percentage, saving them, you know, a ton of money each year on just one particular change in their existing process. And that's through the visibility of the data and seeing it in front of them. Where do I have gaps?
Collectively.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's also important to note in our data fusion model, we have security built in the front end and the back end. Such an important part. This data that we're talking about fusing is not meant for the public. It never will be. It's designed for their own internal use. So it's a critical point when it comes to understanding that you can fuse your data, but we've addressed those security issues. Very important part of this.
And it's not getting better. The need for security on data just every day, you know, so that's, I think, extremely important for the company. And they've already got exposure to the data they have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For sure.
Yeah. Very good point.
Advice you might offer to a new CEO that's taken on the job as CEO for the first time. What might you tell them and why?
I would tell any entrepreneur, and I've told them before, you have to understand the rules of the game. Entrepreneurship has its own rules. It's not what everybody thinks. You know, you think you have all the flexibility and time in the world, and you don't. I also say it's not about you can go to the dentist anytime you want. I think it's about understanding the rules of not having a security net below you, know the risks that are involved, and know the commitment you got to have going forward. So it's so important that if you don't understand those rules, then you can't make it in the in the business world. And without experience, it's important to know those type of rules beforehand, or most people would say it's inherent. That's what I grew up knowing. They'll say, my own business from the age of 10. It's just always been part of the business. And so you've got to be able to, I try to explain, you know, some of the examples of why, you know, the commitment you've got to make. And that's, I think, is critical.
You know, I think in many cases, I'll be told, well, you should have good financials. And you go, oh, thank you for that. I should be taller too, you know. You know, and so I think about, for the business owner, entrepreneur, they're in business because they had a passion, but they never knew the rules. And they don't have, you go like, that's cool. Where do I go get those? Well, obviously, one is Catherine with Vistage. That's a good place to get rules. Where else might they go as a resource to get some of the things that you're talking about if they feel like they're short of that knowledge?
Well, there's plenty of YouTube videos out there explaining the do's and don'ts of running a business, knowing the different components of the business. You got to understand that, you know, there's some people go into it saying, I'm an engineer, operations, I have no interest in sales and marketing. And you got to understand that there's three legs to every business. You got to balance those three legs or that stool falls over, right? So you've got to understand all three together to make it happen.
So your three legs, defined by you, what would they be?
Operations,
mm-hmm.
business development,
mm-hmm.
and finance.
And I would agree with you. So looking back over the past few years, because you and I, we've been on this journey together, right, for a little while. And you started this, how many years ago? Three? Visual Globe. When did you start?
Yeah, Visual Globe started 3 years ago, getting involved in creating 3D models, intelligent 3D models.
Okay, so tell me again, what motivated you to start this? And then what keeps you motivated?
Being involved in a software platform solution like this is highly motivating. And most importantly, it's a lot of fun. It's exciting. You know, we're not Brett Spring in technology to say, but everybody can have fun in the process. And the reason I can say we can have fun in the process, because of the software platform, we're going to make it so the user experience is going to have a fun experience when they're managing their assets. I think that's a whole new mindset to the operational world. And I think we're bringing that piece to it, which makes it fun.
Yeah. So you're first because you're motivated because this is creating a solution for companies and organizations that they don't have right now. Is that what I'm hearing?
That they don't have right now.
Yeah.
Fulfilling the gap.
Because you could make it fun to actually create positive change.
It's fun, but, you know, in other words, it's passionate, but it's fun. And most people say it is fun.
Now, what keeps you motivated now? Every day, because you got to get up and slog, right? Well, it's business. You're an entrepreneur.
It is our progress. The customers that are now coming forward, talking to us. It's that, you know, fulfilling the solution, seeing them react to it, respond to it. It's that's the major motivation. But it's also about building something. You know, having other people come involved, you know, hiring more people to fulfill different staffing and need requirements. It's also part of it. At the first company, I used to tell them, I said, you know, I saw them start out in one position and move to the next and next. And I'm thinking, having someone work and grow within the company, being promoted, was exciting. I just love to watch their excitement and say, wow, you believe in me that I can do this job and move up.
Cool. Thank you.
I was thinking as you were talking, you know, the joy of solving a problem for a client. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're doing this just for an exercise, that's not much fun. But if you can go and actually improve the life of your client by the solution you bring, there's a certain value to solving the problem. Mm-hmm. If it was a perfect world, and we were 3 years out from now, and we were sitting back down to do this podcast again, where would you see the company 3 years down the road?
I would see us both a national and international company, working with customers all over the world, focused on partners that are supporting and working with us to generate more projects and opportunities. I see it growing in terms of number of employees, the revenue. We think it's got substantial revenue growth already looking our way. So we're excited about that. And that's what I expect to see in the next 3 years.
The diversity of clients as well. There's so many markets out there that this is applicable to. because we're not isolated into one niche. It's not one asset type. It's physical assets. You can go to 50 different industries and they would all say, yes, I have physical assets. And how can I help? How can you help me with those? Well, we can paint the picture and we can show them the roadmap of what we can do for them. I think that's what I'm inspired by, that and the fact that I think the services that we provide on top of what we do from the 3D modeling, what we show them, will help them develop internally, you know, crash the barriers of communication. Obviously, I've sticking on that a lot, and I've had that because of my past experiences. I've been into organizations, both corporate and independent, where you walk into the building and every group is in a different corridor. Everybody operates within their own structures. And when you try to bring everybody together, they have a different opinion. Again, going back to diversification in the marketplace, understanding different markets, understanding an asset, bridging the gap of communication is key to me. That's what drives me on a day-to-day basis. That's what I'm passionate about. And that's what I believe in what we're doing because of how we are bringing the visualization to the communication platform.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're breaking through glass ceilings, truly.
You know, I think as you were talking, there's always the one guy that's been doing this one particular job for years. He knows that one piece of equipment or that one thing like it's his kid. I mean, he knows it. Well, it made this noise. I need to go do this. But the institutional knowledge that resides with that person goes away when they leave the organization. Then I think about what you guys are effectively doing is you're institutionalizing wisdom and knowledge from time. And so it doesn't replace that particular wisdom of that person, but it preserves it and curates it for the entire company. Interesting.
Yeah. And like you said, Matt, there are a lot of people that they're just walking around with the knowledge in their head that nobody's bothered to extract it or wouldn't know how.
Right.
And you're providing an outlet for them to extract that information and data and start measuring it.
Yeah. Because we all communicate differently, right? There's written, tactile learning. We learn as well differently. So, you know, the one commonality between all of that is visual. You can visualize what you're doing. You usually can speak to it, or maybe somebody can write it down and provide their details.
I can see that.
Or I can see that. Right? Yeah. I think that really quantifies what we bring to the table and why.
Well, I tell you, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy schedule to come down and talk about your company. And we look forward to hearing great things about what you're doing and the successes you have in the future. And Ms. Catherine, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to co-host this with me.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, guys,
thank you.
Wish you much success.